Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
All right, here we go. Primetime Titans, it's JG.
It's Robert.
And this is Michael.
And it's the three of us here again. And did y'all know that back when we didn't sign A.J. Brown, we knew that we were going to sign a 29-year-old Calvin Ridley. And it was
really
like the smarter decision. Did y'all know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, because apparently after we signed Calvin Ridley to a four-year $92 million deal, that's $50 million guaranteed, that honestly doesn't look too bad when the numbers come out. Apparently everyone wants to crap on us that we've signed Calvin Ridley because we didn't sign A.J. Brown a few years ago, because they're assuming that we knew that we wouldn't sign A.J. Brown because we were going to get Calvin Ridley and have to pay money to DeAndre Hopkins as well. It, you know, like people are just hopping on the, you know, crap on Titans type scenario where the media just hates us, where I guarantee you if the Patriots signed Calvin Ridley for 4 years, $93 million, it would have looked very smart for a new potential quarterback in Jaden Daniels or Drake May to have his number one receiver, Calvin Ridley, and Kendrick Bourne, who some argue is better than Calvin Ridley. I'm sick and tired of people that don't care about the Tennessee Titans and make the Tennessee Titans your just punching bag whenever we make a move that actually kind of makes sense for your young quarterback in Will Levis. Definitely makes sense. And we've got plenty of money to spend. We're so bad in the NFL draft that we can afford to pay Calvin Ridley the money we are paying him. We got a lot to talk about. I realize that we're going to talk about free agents that we've signed. We're going to talk about the ones we've missed out on and who we still think we can get. I just had to get this off my chest because what I was seeing on Twitter yesterday was I was getting so angry at that. Everyone wanted to say that, like, oh, why would you pay A.J. Brown at 24 years old? Why wouldn't you pay him 4 years for $100 million when you could pay a 29-year-old Calvin Ridley 4 years, $92 million? Oh, whoop-de-doo. Wow, you want to crap on us even more for not signing A.J. Brown? Well, guess what? It was stupid to not sign A.J. Brown. Those people are gone. The only people that maybe should be gone with it is our damn owner, Amy Adams Strunk, who maybe for once in her life is going to spend money on good free agents. Who knows?
Maybe she learned her lesson.
I'm frustrated right now, and I shouldn't be, because honestly, the Titans have made some pretty good moves. We've signed, you know, pretty good play. I mean, I'll just go over so far what we know, I guess. I'm not going to – Michael, you can get in specifics with numbers. Robert, you can get in specifics with numbers as well. But we signed – we started out signing Tony Pollard, which was kind of a shock. I did not expect that. And that money – if you wanted to crap on us for signing Tony Pollard for that money, that would make sense because we have Tajay Spears. And whatever. I still kind of like the move as I think about it more. We signed Lloyd Cushenberry, the center from the Broncos. I think we might have mentioned that name last week. And then we signed Chidobe Awuzie. Just call him Cheeto, though. That's what.
Cheeto. Okay. I've been trying to spell his name in multiple group texts, and I'm confident I've messed it up. I've reverted to just calling him the Bengals corner.
You said just call me Cheeto. And my old guest on the podcast, Rob, my old boss, he actually did text me and said, hope you didn't overpay Cheeto. He just referred to him as Cheeto. So we'll see. I don't know if we overpaid him. Maybe considering Kendall Fuller got a lot less, we did. Anyways, keep going. Then that night we signed Kenneth Murray, my least favorite signing so far, linebacker from the Chargers. And then we signed, I guess.
My least favorite signing.
Was the next one, I guess, Calvin Ridley after Kenneth Murray, or did we get someone else?
My least favorite signing is who, JG?
Oh, well, we know that when we got the news that the wonderful, the all-talented, potential all-pro one day, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine,
We signed coming back him. On another 1 year deal.
Coming back. The one, I mean, he survives off 1 year deals with the Titans. Am I missing anyone? What, Sadiq Charles?
Yeah. I was going to say Sadiq Charles.
Oh, and then Nick Folk.
Backup QB, Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph as well. Boys.
Big one. Big one. We knew it was going to happen. Resigned our kicker, Nick Folk.
Nick Folk. Wonderful. That came right after the Calvin Ridley news. I think that's great. Nick Folk was awesome last year.
Just to give a time frame for listeners here, it is Thursday night. We are in day two free agency. We're in day four of the tampering period being in. And we've been pretty quiet, honestly, since free agency itself has started. I mean, yesterday we got Ridley. So that's the biggest development.
We still have 35-ish million to play with by our best guess.
And we better spend.
And we think you got to keep about 7 or 8 million of that for the draft. So
and on Monday, fingers crossed, we're going to gain another 3 million when Andre Dillard is cut.
When we cut Andre Dillard, yeah. So realistically, you know, 35 million minus 7 or 8 million puts you right around 27, 28 million left. And that's average annual value against the cap this year. So obviously with contracts, they can backload it and you can do a lot with that money. So we expect another 3, 4, maybe 5 signings before it's all said and done.
And I mean, you could argue we've got more pieces on defense that we do need to sign.
I think looking at it as we currently stand, I'm going to go down the list of what we still need.
Yeah. I'm going to take a little backseat right here. I got my
cool off a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to cool off a little bit. I came in very hot, but it is because of the whole AJ Brown thing. I want to get rid of AJ Brown. He's the ex that I can't get over, and I hate it. We've got to just get him out of here.
There's so many things that I want to touch on. I do have a very pertinent point to bring up in this whole AJ Brown conversation of everybody that's roasting the Titans. And I don't know if you guys want me to do that now.
Go for it.
All right. In 2022, the NFL salary cap, when we were going through all of this and we didn't want to pay AJ Brown 4 years, $100 million, the salary cap was $208 million. You know what the current salary cap is for this season?
$255 million?
Yeah, it's like $255 million and some change. All right. So you know what that difference is? What it breaks down to is basically $48 million. And that $48 million, that difference in cap is magically the number of what is guaranteed for Calvin Ridley. I don't think it's realistic to assume that just because 92 is close to 100, the situations are anywhere close to the same. So I like when somebody's roasting on this, I'm like, the whole economics have totally changed. Like you guys gotta let it go. But I get it. Everybody wants to ding us yet again for AJ Brown until yet again AJ Brown breaks the Eagles for another season and ultimately they have the same Super Bowl rings that we do in that period, which is zero.
Yeah, suck it, Josh Larkey.
And I'd like to make a point too. To your point, JG, we have admitted in spades across the board that the AJ Brown trade was a failure. That happened in week 10 when Amy Adams fired J-Rob after going to the Eagles game and having Eagles fans flick her off in the booth behind her. And, you know, I'll always give my boy Madison Brown credit here for this one. Billionaires don't like getting flicked off by average people. All right. And when AJ Brown scored 2 touchdowns on us and made, Christian Fulton looked like an absolute high school scrub.
Ended his season.
I mean, after that, J-Rob gets fired and Amy Adams, that's basically the writing on the wall. Amy Adams saying, you're an idiot. What is wrong with you? We should have re-signed AJ Brown. So we accepted that we made a mistake. 4 years later, whatever it is, 2 years later, you don't have to keep rubbing it in. All right. Yeah. We know.
It's my own version of self-therapy that I'm going to keep this glimmer of hope that AJ Brown actually is this locker room malcontent and what he did.
Terrible knees.
I'm like, it is much watched Twitter X, whatever you want to call that app. It's much watched drama for me because every single time that it blows up in the Eagles' faces, I'm like, oh God, it just feels a little bit better.
He's cancer. He's a cancer, bad person for the locker room, bad for the team.
All right, but let's get back to free agency.
Yes,
all right.
These
are the remaining things that we can either clearly address through free agency or we can address through the draft. We still need a third tight end. We still need a starting left tackle. We still need a starting right guard. We still need a starting right tackle. We still need either a starting, I guess you would call it, I don't know, Robert, what it, zero tech, one tech? What do you say?
Nose tackle. Yeah.
What would apply to us in that situation?
Run stuffer.
We arguably need a starting five tech defensive end, which you could say maybe there's some configuration where Harold Landry can fill that. But basically, we need still to beef up our defensive line in a dire way. We still need basically a starting inside linebacker. We still need a starting cornerback. We still need a starting safety. If you are listening, listener, you will see that I said starting many ways. And this comes to some of my frustrations right now. And this is why I say, I hope we are not done spending money because we have so many holes to fill. When you look at some of our signings and the splash, everybody wants to pay attention to Calvin Ridley. And I have my own. If you go back and you're listening to consecutive episodes now, you will see that JG was on point last week, laying out a bunch of things. And my biggest fear came true in that our offensive coordinator holes probably stuck up for the guy. And we went out and we went and got Calvin Ridley. And it's concerning to me for a number of reasons, because you could have had three starters for the price that we're paying Ridley. And the guys, even though he doesn't have a lot of tread on the tires because he did get suspended for a full season, the guy is coming up on 30. So it's a little bit of a risk. But the theme here is we still have a ton of holes. And yes, the draft is going to fill. Let's arguably say the draft can fill one for sure, two maybe, in terms of those starter roles. We still have, by my count, I think, was that seven starters we're looking for right now?
Yeah. So, and I think what's really interesting is we all thought Tajay Spears was the RB1 this time last week. We thought we were going into the season with Tajay Spears as RB1. Maybe we sign like a veteran minimum guy, like a Julius Chestnut, who we did bring back actually, who will be RB3. We forgot to mention him. We re-signed him.
I think we said like a Zach Moss potentially.
Yeah. No way. In no way did I think Tony Pollard was on the table.
It's so. Trying to figure this question: is Tony Pollard RB1 now, or are we such a true split?
No, I think it's a true split.
Really, I think Pollard's RB1 with $6 million a year. I think they will be on the field at the same time.
Yeah, my answer to that is, granted, the first half of the season he was still coming back from that injury from the previous year, but Tony Pollard, as a workhorse, only him in the backfield for the most part, didn't do as well as he did when it was him and Zeke the year before. And I think what they saw was, you know, we've been so used to the last few years, especially last year with Tajay Spears and Derrick Henry, whatever running back was in there would kind of dictate what we were probably going to be doing. Now you look at Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, they're kind of similar type backs. Maybe Tajay Spears, as crazy as it sounds, a little more physical and can
be more of a power back.
But when they're both going to be in there, I think they signed Tony Pollard to not be an RB1, and maybe Tajay Spears isn't even RB1. It's just like there's an RB A and B or something.
I think that's a good point, JG. And I think if you think about Brian Callahan, a guy who's been immersed in offense in the NFL his whole career, comes into the Titans and he looks at what we have in terms of weapons, and he sees an aging DeAndre Hopkins, a bust in Treylon Burks, a couple of receivers who just aren't going to get the job done, and a second-year running back out of Tulane with some promise. But other than that, you know, he doesn't have any ACLs, right? I mean, he could blow up on us tomorrow. So I think he comes into this team and says, I need weapons. Get me the weapons. I'll figure the rest out. And so I think he prioritized a guy like Tony Pollard, a guy like Calvin Ridley. And what they're going to sacrifice, Michael, to your point, is some starting caliber players elsewhere. And whether that works out or not is remains to be seen, but we're going to have to get used to the idea that not all of those seven positions that we still need starting caliber players, we're going to have some average young pieces at those positions that are not maybe what we would want, but do we gain more explosion with some sort of fluid offense with a lot of weapons like Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears on the field at the same time? You know, you can motion one of those guys into the backfield, the other guy out of the backfield, create the matchups that you want. You've got two very proven receivers in this league in Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins. And then who knows what else we do? Like maybe we go get a Brock Bowers at tight end. And then all of a sudden you've got an extremely dangerous team. If you can protect them, then that's the big question mark. But I think that's what Brian Callahan did is he said, hey, let's go get playmakers. Real quick on Tony Pollard. So you mentioned his season last year, John Garrett, and there was a really interesting data analysis on Twitter that I looked at. And Tony Pollard broke his ankle, had a pretty bad injury the very end of the 22 season. And he said in an interview after the Cowboys season was over, he didn't really feel like himself until week 10. Yeah, that would have been great information for me to know as a fantasy owner who took him in the first round last year.
I traded for him mid-year.
If you look at his missed tackles per game, according to PFF or whoever tracks that, and you look at it linearly, he was at like 1-2 missed tackles per game. Week 10, the week he said he started to feel like himself, it started to go up to 6, 7, 4, 8. I mean, he became the player he was supposed to be that last half of the season. So I think we may have a situation just like Cheeto, potentially, where we're getting a guy a little bit of a discount because he was had an injury-prone season the year before or injury-affected season the year before that hopefully he's fully recovered from and we get the best version of Tony Pollard next year. That's my thought, my hope. Similar to a DeMarco Murray situation where, you know, had a really bad year. We brought him in and he kind of had a comeback those final 3 years in Tennessee.
He is a better pass protector than Tajay. So
that, yes. Yep. I'll
give him that. We had clearly laid out a plan last week where we all unanimously wanted to see us beef up the lines. We really have not done that. We signed a center.
What, two offensive linemen, that's it?
One's backup in Sadiq Charles, who probably won't see the field at all this year. But we did get a starting center, and that's the only thing for two lines that we have done, which is a little bit terrifying for me.
Maybe our best signing.
Yes, we need to talk about that because this is a 27-year-old guy entering his prime. The only reason he is available right now, the only reason, this type of player does not hit the free agency market. The only reason he's available is because of that massive contract the Broncos gave Russell Wilson. And because of the timing of the contract and all the dead cap that they're taking on, he was a cap casualty in Denver under Sean Payton and the Waltons. And they had to part ways with him. Lloyd Cushenberry does not see free agency under 90% of situations in the NFL. That was a great signing, I believe, by Rand Carthon. And I don't know if he's going to single-handedly fix our problems, but he is going to be massively better than Aaron Brewer, in my opinion.
Well, I think it's playing out with the amount of money that we have. I really don't see them taking a chip of that money and signing a tackle or anything that's going to be questionably or marginally better than anything we currently have on the roster. I have to think the remaining targets are all on the defense and trying to fill those slots.
So you think they've pretty much said they're going tackle at seven?
I just don't see unless who else we have. I mean, Trent Brown and Tyron Smith are still out.
I can read you some.
And Mekhi Becton.
This is from.
You really think that if that was our plan all along, we'd still be sitting here at this point, 4 days into the tampering period?
I don't know.
It seems like it would be a panic to me.
Based on what Mike Herndon said is left, good ones to look for: Tyron Smith, Trent Brown, Charles Leno, the age-old David Bakhtiari, Mekhi Becton, Yosh Nijman, Josh Jones, Cam Fleming, Isaiah Wynn.
And Andres Pete just got cut by the Saints, and he's kind of struggled recently, but he was a former first-round pick, former number one overall recruit in the country. I went to Stanford. So, I mean,
I personally think if they go out and they side Tyron Smith, to me, they're going to complete this thing and they're going to take a playmaker at seven. Like, it's a Band-Aid so that they can do that.
So if we sign Tyron Smith, are we giving Robert full permission to freak out and completely lose his marbles?
If we sign Tyron Smith, I fully expect my cousin to text me instantly and just send me Brock Bowers.
Start buying the Brock Bowers jerseys now.
I mean, it would make the most sense of a playmaker if they're just going to go for it because, you know, nobody's expecting us to win and go deep in the playoffs this year. But what would be amazing in this 3-year build that we're going to do is if they do fix the offense and we have a screaming offense. And let's say it comes at the sacrifice of having a really weak secondary and people just can pass all over us. That's fine. As long as the offense gets fixed and now we know what we can have to fix next season.
Yes.
And we're not going to have to purge assets or whatever. We're still building, and it is still the story of how you build around Will Levis and make him the guy. It's just
has to be
a different approach to turning that into a potential championship team.
Now, I think two things on the O-line. One, I don't think we are fully, and I'm going to say I'm not fully appreciating Bill Callahan.
You're just not like considering it as much. Or do you really not believe in him as much?
No. I'm saying I don't fully, because I haven't seen it yet in Tennessee, Bill Callahan's effects, because he's only been here for a month now, I don't fully understand what he's capable of. Piggyback that on to the fact that we've never developed an offensive line prospect. Not never, but like in the last 6 years, have we signed someone undrafted and developed them into a starting caliber offensive lineman? I mean, I know
Nate Davis was like third.
The closest we came is Nate Davis.
Fourth round.
Yeah.
Or he was like sixth round. Was he sixth round?
No, he was a third round pick out of Charlotte. But still, that's significant draft capital, a third round pick. You expect that guy to start.
And he wasn't even – he didn't even get another contract.
Even Nate didn't fully develop under Vrabel's tenure. He was the weak link, but the rest of the line around him was so strong that it was okay for him to be the weak link. And he did come into his own. I'm not saying he was a bad player. He did come into his own, but it wasn't like he came in and was just a rock star third round pick.
And I'm saying like developing talent. Like you get a guy fourth, fifth, sixth round undrafted, and you develop them into a starter. That is how you really put together elite offensive lines in the NFL, because you can save so much money if you can develop those guys. Can Bill Callahan take an NPF, a Dylan Raidens, a Peter Skoronski? Are they thinking that the talent is there, the clay is there? Let's let Bill Callahan get his hands on them this summer and develop those guys, and maybe we can spend our money elsewhere. And we see an upgrade at right guard. We see an upgrade at right tackle, and we don't have to go out and get a Tyron Smith or a Trent Brown. Maybe that's what they're thinking.
People are talking about it. Some people are talking about it like it's a straight up sure thing. So I would agree with you, Robert, that I'm not doubting Bill Callahan. It's just that some people are talking about it like it's a sure thing, that even like, it's almost like some people are saying that even Andre Dillard would be saved by Bill Callahan. I don't know if people are getting that far, so maybe. But Michael, you said earlier we need a starting right guard. Are we done with Brunskill? Are you not considering Brunskill?
he didn't provide an actual level. And it's the same thing. It all circles around this Bill Callahan question of he didn't really provide the level that you would want him to continue being the starter. You really want an upgrade.
If you told me, and this even before Bill Callahan, like Bill Callahan aside, if you told me that Brunskill was a piece from the previous year offensive line that you're going to stick with, I actually would be okay with it. I really didn't hate it.
Because people picked on our tackles so much.
And well, it's true, but I mean,
he wasn't the weak point.
It's like the NPF situation from 2 years ago when he was a rookie right tackle. Everybody killed Dennis Daly and didn't realize that NPF actually had a really bad year also.
Yeah. Well, so here's the interesting thing about the Bill Callahan saga, and this will probably be, I would imagine, other than the general progression of the offense, this is probably going to be the most talked about or watched thing in camp as it comes to. But if you look at players that have the athletic skills, but they don't have the technique and they don't have the discipline, we have two players in both MPF and Jalen Duncan that were athletically superior. And that was their MO. And I'm not dialed in enough, nor do I have the ability to like look and grade them in terms of draft prospects versus what's currently in this draft. But I would be so curious to know what a self-evaluation for them comes to in terms of the coaching staff looking at them. Because you know that he at least scouted them as part of previous regimes.
Hand up. Completely forgot about Jalen Duncan. And I like him. I kind of like him. I remember we took him, I think, a pick before Kayshon Boutte to the Patriots. Pretty sure. Just kind of a funny joke. You know, Patriots were potentially in the running for Calvin Ridley. Someone made a joke that having Calvin Ridley and Kayshon Boutte on the same team was not smart. So it's probably good that the Patriots didn't sign him. Just thought that was pretty funny. That was good. That was one that didn't make me mad when I saw it.
Is Boutte? But no, Boutte's like, there's no way he's out of the league, right?
He's got to. I mean,
I did see a really, really funny tweet where somebody was like, does anybody else find it very suspicious that Calvin Ridley went to the, what, plus 1800 dark horse odds team?
I did. Hey, a payday along with a gambling payday. Who knows? But
I want to go back to Calvin Ridley. Okay.
Okay.
One of my favorite things about this signing, and I understand we overpaid for him.
Did we overpay for him? Did we though?
I don't know. I don't really, it's not my money, man. I don't know how this stuff works. This is the thing about the salary cap, dude. Like, people move money all which way around and give. It doesn't matter. Some of this matters, but it really doesn't matter what you pay people. Okay, that's my thought on this. What, Michael? How many? The Chiefs have $211 million on 23 players right now, and no,
2025 is when that comes due.
Oh, for 2025, and they're somehow going to keep one of the best corners in the game at $20 million. Like,
well, so that's basically, yeah. So the Chiefs right now are the interesting thing about the cast. The Chiefs have one more year to complete this three-peat, which is this season. So do they pull a Chargers and do they try to make L'Jarius Sneed work? And then when they get to 2025, they're going to be absolutely wrecked, and they're going to be wrecked even worse in 2026. But they could potentially complete the three-peat in 2024.
Okay. Well, that really wasn't my point. My point on the Calvin Ridley thing was this.
Sorry.
We took the number one weapon from one of our division rivals, and that matters. That matters to me, okay? I don't want to see another year in my life where the Jags finish ahead of us in the division, okay? And this helps us finish ahead of the Jags. Now, I know there's some Texans buzz, and we can get to all the Texans fear that everybody has about them taking Aziz and signing all these players. But listen, we not only took Calvin Ridley from the Jags, one of our arch rivals, but they have to give Atlanta a third round pick for a player who's not going to be on their team this year as part of their trade. And one of the gambles that Balky, if I'm pronouncing the general manager's name right, made is he has a strict policy to not give extensions to players in the middle of the season. Okay. So he had two big extensions that he did not do in the middle of the season. One, Josh Allen, two, Calvin Ridley. Now, if he had extended Calvin Ridley before the free agency deadline, he would have owed the Falcons a second round pick, as that was their trade that they made. So he decided, I'm going to wait. I'm going to try to play this thing. I'm going to let Calvin Ridley hit free agency and then try to re-sign him. And I'm going to franchise tag Josh Allen. So if he had decided to extend Josh Allen in the middle of the season, which is what he should have done and what most GMs would have done, he could have franchise tagged Calvin Ridley and then only given a third round pick to the Falcons instead of a second. But because he stuck to this policy, what, JG?
The 4 minutes ago, Jay Glazer, the Bears have traded a fourth round pick to the Chargers for Keenan Allen.
Whoa.
Wow.
I'm just going to say, I love Keenan Allen. He's honestly like one of my favorite receivers of all time. I would have sent a fourth rounder for him. I would have done it.
Let's move on to that. All I'm going to say is we screwed the Jags. I love it. That's interesting. The Keenan Allen is interesting, and here's why. The Chargers have the sixth or the fifth pick.
They have the fifth pick.
And they just cut Mike Williams.
And traded away Keenan Allen.
And Quentin Johnston looks like a bust. They're going receiver.
They got to go receiver at this point. So then now, here was a thought.
That's Joe Alt. We're getting Joe Alt.
Well, no, Giants could get Joe Alt. So here's my theory I had. Chargers, if let's say 1, 2, 3 are quarterbacks, 4 is Marvin Harrison Jr., or maybe 4 is a quarterback. If 4 is a quarterback, Marvin Harrison Jr. is there, they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's say it's not a quarterback. They take, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. goes 4th. They have a choice between Rome Odunze and Malik Nabers. If they like either one, they trade back to 7 and get some extra picks from us. We go to 5, snag Joe Alt from the Giants. Giants take another tackle or the receiver that the Chargers didn't want. Chargers get the other one, and they're fine with it.
But the Giants have Andrew Thomas, who's doing pretty well.
Yeah, but they have Evan Neal on the other side, who's atrocious. So they could move Andrew Thomas to right tackle and have Joe Alt left tackle.
But didn't they draft Evan Neal like 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think he was 2020. Yeah, but I mean,
they're already going to cut bait with that first round.
Yeah,
pick?
I mean, they wouldn't necessarily. They probably. I mean, he's been that bad. So no, wow. I think that does add a level. Like, one, do the Bears extend Keenan Allen and like give him some money? If getting a receiver was just a fourth round pick, like, okay, let me ask, would you rather have Calvin Ridley at what we paid him or trade our fourth round pick for Keenan Allen?
How old is Keenan Allen?
He's like 32, probably.
He's an old man. To answer that question, I do not want to use draft capital in this draft.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be it. We would go from second round to then fifth round pick, or I think. Yeah, he's 31. He's 31.
So then you got 32-year-old DeAndre Hopkins and 31-year-old Keenan Allen. That just – it'd be great next year, but 2025, you're probably looking for two new receivers.
So we're good with Calvin Ridley on that then.
I'm just bringing this up as because it pertains to us and Joe Alt. If you're the Giants at number 5, do you even entertain quarterback at this point? Because, man,
can't be Giants at 6. So, would they take JJ McCarthy
at 6?
So, is Dable still in New York?
Yes, he is.
And they just got rid of Saquon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who do they have? Who at running back or wide receiver?
I mean,
they do have my favorite wide receiver from last year who quietly had a really great year, Darius.
Who? Oh, Darius Slayton out of Auburn.
They got Jalin Hyatt out of Tennessee. They signed Devin Singletary. I think they still have the tight end Daniel Bellinger. Darren Waller is still there, but he's considering considering retirement.
See, that's where they're like, they're not taking Joe Walt. They need weapons. They need weapons.
I'm with you. I'm good with that. At this point, I want Joe Alt at 7. I'm sorry, Robert, Brock Bowers.
No, and I said this a couple days ago. Joe Alt is like the girl that just works really well on paper, and everybody you talk to is like, y'all should date. It's going to be great. Y'all work out so well together, and she's a good girl. She's going to keep you on the straight and narrow. You know, not going to get all crazy. But Brock Bowers, It's that girl that looks really good.
Well, Joe Alt, if Joe just Alt,
tell what your heart wants, what your heart wants, you know, it might get a little crazy.
She's a great
when you draft.
Probably give us a couple 8 a.m. classes, but you know, could be a good time.
When you draft a left tackle high and that left tackle hits next to quarterback, there's no position else that is guaranteed to get multiple contracts and stick with your team. Like, your team is going to pony up and you're going to play, and it's going to eliminate the biggest thing that you, drives you crazy about the Titans, Robert.
Think about what we've been doing since losing Taylor Lewan.
They will make sure that until the time comes and that he, you know, blows out two ACLs, they're going to make sure to re-sign that guy, and he's going to remain a Titan.
It's true, and we've had insane success drafting left tackles, Isaiah Wilson.
And that applies to it. The reason why we've hit it, we've signed them, they've worked out, and then it's worth the re-sign, and it's worth paying them. And that's why it turns into a long-term really benefit. You just don't have to worry about it anymore. That's why you got to get back in that cycle.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting almost too predictable that we're taking left tackle at 7. Yeah.
So, Robert, you kind of touched on it, and I it is something I want to talk about because it does relate to the Titans in multiple ways, mainly because we've lost these players. We talked about they were two guys that at least one of us talked about wanting back. The first day, we lost Azeez Alshire and Danique Autry both to the Texans. The Texans have also signed Danielle Hunter. They signed
Joe Mixon.
They traded for Joe Mixon.
And just gave him 3 years, $27 million.
Yeah, they extended him. The Texans, I mean, we knew they were going to be able to make moves because they hit on C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson as an edge player. You know, they've already got talented receivers to where they didn't need to spend money there. They upgraded at running back. They're upgrading on defense, especially the defensive line. I mean, it's insane what they're doing there. I know, Robert, you have some of your thoughts on that, but that kind of scares me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. And I will say, if we get Jerome Baker, he's a linebacker we're potentially going after, I'll be less upset about losing Azeez Alshire, but I'm sad that we lost him. I'm sad we lost Autry. And it wasn't that we just lost them. We've lost them to our division rival in the Texans.
Yeah.
Their problem. Let's talk about some of that, and then let's wrap it up at the end. Let's talk about people that we still want and can still potentially get we're targeting. But Texans,
Robert. Yeah, on the Texans, I'm not look, I'm afraid of the Texans because of C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins and what'd you say?
Tank Dell.
And Tank Dell, yeah. And Laremy Tunsil. Like, they've got weapons, and Will Anderson. Danielle Hunter has never been a guy. He's been in free agency. I feel like this is the fourth straight year he's been available. Okay. He's been on like six teams. That is a red flag to me. He's been
the Vikings forever.
No, he was at the Raiders. Look at his Wikipedia. He's no hyperbole. He's been on at least three teams. This might be his fourth.
Are you thinking of the right player?
Yes, I'm thinking of the right player. Anyway,
he's been on the Vikings for forever. I disagree with you is why I'm
are you looking it up?
Going back a little bit.
All right, look it up. Let me finish and then come back and tell me.
Yeah.
All right. Azeez Alshire, good player. He got the most guaranteed money of any linebacker in this free agency class. Okay. That includes Patrick Queen. That includes Jordan Brooks. That is probably going to include Jerome Baker. I don't think he's better than those players. They gave him $26 million guaranteed. That's a lot of money for Azeez. Great. He earned it. I'm glad we didn't give that money to him. Danico Autry's a loss. Like you mentioned, Michael, we are now in need of a five technique to start. And, you know, I understand the thought process. You want to get younger there. I'm not devastated. I don't think he's going to be a Titan killer. Good signing by the Titans or good signing by the Texans. I don't think it's like going to destroy our season because we didn't get Danico Autry. But the most confusing trade of this whole week was the Texans trading Malik Collins for a 7th round pick, a very promising up-and-coming D tackle that they had on a rookie contract. They traded him for a seventh-round pick. Maybe they were anticipating they weren't going to be able to re-sign him. I thought he was a pretty good player. I did not understand that move, and I thought that was a bad move that the Texans made.
I understand it, actually. I realized one important thing that we've overlooked in our fear of the Texans.
What's that?
The Texans have more draft capital than we do in this draft.
Brick.
Yeah, but why do they need a seventh-round pick?
Because they're going – well, no, they just don't – they know they're not going to be able to pay their defensive tackle, and they're staring at the opportunity when everybody else is reaching for wide receivers.
Get what you can before we can not re-sign them. Yeah, I guess.
If you go down positional value for the Texans in the first round, franchise quarterback, check. Franchise left tackle, check. Wide receiver one, check. Franchise edge, check. Franchise cornerback, check. They're going to take the best defenders in this draft.
Franchise safety, Petrie.
Yep.
Yeah, they're absolutely in a ridiculous position knocking out this draft and they realized that with Malik Collins in that situation, I think that they weren't going to be able to re-sign him, so they might as well get a little bit of draft capital inside of it, and while also getting their young guy that's probably going to be drafted around one.
I guess. But like I said, I'm afraid of the Texans because of what they already had. What they signed, that's just things on the edges. They were going to do that whether they took him for the Titans or not. Like, that's not why we're scared of the Texans, because Azeez Al-Shaair is now playing there for 3 years, $26 million. We're scared of the Texans because they have a potential top five quarterback at center or under center.
I can't reemphasize that in 2022, the Texans had the worst roster in the entire NFL. Now we're actually talking about the fact that they are stacked. That's what a good draft does for you.
Yep.
Forgive me for I've sinned of jealousy. Also, Robert, I'm sorry. I'm laughing because Danielle Hunter has literally been a Viking his entire career.
Where was he before the Texans?
In college.
He's been a Viking his entire career since 2015. Are you thinking of like Yannick Ngakoue or all?
I might be thinking of Yannick Ngakoue.
Dude, you know, Hunter
is Yannick Ngakoue has been on like six teams, right?
Or you might be thinking of like Everson Griffin.
No, I'm thinking of Yannick Ngakoue.
Okay.
100%. Hunter had 16.5 sacks last season.
Yeah, Robert, when you
this is great podcasting here. I just vented. I thought it was a different player the whole time.
For context, Robert sent a message in. He like talked about the Texans last week in our group text. And I remember seeing that, like, I didn't put any effort into arguing with you, but I fully disagreed and said to Neil, I was thinking to myself that Danielle Hunter is like incredible. So that definitely scares me. Wow. Texans are very good, but you're right. It goes deeper to like, they have CJ Stroud and we could be jealous of just that. Like, they have other great options, other good parts of the roster, but CJ Stroud is the ultimate reason why we are scared of the Texans, because you literally saw in year one, like, he's a franchise quarterback. No doubt.
Yeah.
For us, we had a rookie quarterback in Will Levis. We still don't know. We got to figure that out. So,
all right. Well, how do we stop him? Who do you guys want? What's the remaining wish list?
That's a great. You read my mind, Michael. That's where I was going. So we've been linked to multiple players, really we've been linked over the last couple of days to where I don't know if there's a chance we get them. Safety Justin Simmons. I mentioned him first because he's probably going to end up being too much money and we probably wouldn't end up getting him. Safety Marcus May, who has a connection with Denard Wilson, our defensive coordinator. He's from the Saints, played at the Jets for a few years. That's where he has his connection with Denard Wilson. He's, you know, he's fine. He's older to where he's got some injury concerns. Jerome Baker, linebacker from the Dolphins. He's my number one guy.
He visited the Titans today.
And then we wanted Eric Armstead. He actually ended up signing with the Jaguars.
Sorry to interrupt you. Let's talk about Jerome Baker real quick.
Okay.
We are bringing him in for a visit because he messed his knee up pretty bad at the end of the season. And so before signing him, I think we're trying to evaluate that knee. So if we don't sign him, it may be because the medical staff does not think that knee's ready for next year. Because it's a pretty bad MCL tear from what I understand.
Well, I know the Dolphins. Yeah. The Dolphins had to cut bait with a lot of people too because of their cap issues. So
okay, so I just want to interject that. Okay, keep going. Yeah. Eric Armstead.
And then the other one as well, Legarius Sneed. We talked about him a little earlier in the episode. That would have to be a trade. We'd probably have to give up some draft capital. If it's a 2025 pick, I'd be more likely to do that. But this, the talks of the trade interest has been a thing for the last two nights now, and nothing's happened. I feel like that may not happen at this point. But am I missing any others that we've been linked to? I'm trying to think. I mean, we're running low.
Yeah, I was going to say Chase Young visited today as well, but he's supposed to be visiting the Saints tomorrow.
Say that again? Yeah.
We were saying Chase Young.
Oh, Chase Young. That's right.
I would say if we get three of the four remaining, and my wish list is with you, and maybe the realistic of guys that we could sign if we overpay a little bit, but we have the money, is Jerome Baker, Chase Young, and whether Marcus May, Justin Simmons, one of the safety options that are still there. Legarius Sneed is, I do think, is kind of holding everything up, because I do think that's a wish list for them and just matches so well with the style of defense that we want. But we'll see if that actually happens.
One guy that we haven't mentioned because he wasn't available until yesterday or today is Xavien Howard, is going to now be a post June 1st cut from the Dolphins. He is a former all-pro corner. He could be a guy we go after if we don't win the Legarius Sneed sweepstakes. We missed out on Kendall Fuller. We haven't even talked about that. 2 years, $16 million was what Kendall Fuller signed for, and he was supposed to be the number one.
Price of Owuzie. I give me Kendall Fuller over Owuzie.
Seriously, and he was supposed to be the number one corner in free agency. Like, what the heck? There had to be something that we don't know about, because that market just fell apart.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened there. Think he's just ring hunting? I don't know.
But with the Lions, you would think if you're ring hunting, you go with a team better than the Lions.
Not the new Lions.
I mean, I know they made the NFC Championship game, but are you putting them in your top five Super Bowl contenders for next year?
They still got a great roster. I mean, they've kind of like – they've built a great roster, kind of like the Texans have. They just got Jared Goff and not CJ Stroud.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand it.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
This was an interesting name I didn't really notice until a couple of days ago, but Julian Blackman, the safety from the Colts. Do y'all remember him?
Yeah.
So there's something, this is from NFL.com by Greg Rosenthal, but he said Blackman was incredible as a rookie and had a career year as a playmaker in 2023 with an Achilles injury and a lost season in between. The upside is sky high here. Wait, so when was his Achilles injury?
22.
Yeah. So he had a good year last year. Honestly, if we signed Julian Blackman, I'd be good with that. I remember him giving us trouble when we played the Colts.
So who are our starting safeties right now? Amani Hooker and the guy from the Eagles?
Nah.
We got Kevin Byard?
Elijah Molden would be the next safety, I think.
Okay.
Elijah Molden, then Kevon Wallace, if we sign him back.
Who was the guy that we got back from?
Terrell Edmonds.
Is he not?
Trash.
He's not still with us?
I think that was a dump. I think he's gone.
Oh, did y'all see that we signed? We re-signed Dr. Giddey.
Gibby. Well, yeah.
That's why I want Jerome Baker so much, because Murray as an inside linebacker is not a green dot guy. You have to have somebody that can lead that defense. And cerebrally, the only person that we currently have on the roster now is Gibby.
I'm just breaking news on the podcast here. The Chiefs just signed a receiver. Guess who?
Oh, Hollywood.
Correct. Marquise
Brown. Wow.
Wow.
What's the deal?
They're going for the three-peat.
I don't see – it doesn't mention any numbers right now from what I'm seeing. Twitter is insane. Twitter is literally like my source.
Well, he's he's an upgrade over MVS for them. So
yeah, for sure. He's their number one receiver now. Or I guess Rashee Rice.
Yeah, Rashee
Rice. Okay, so Dane Brugler, I'm looking at Twitter again. Dane Brugler said his new like positional mock basically is quarterback, 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 receiver, receiver, receiver. And that would be
talking about the draft?
Yeah, he's talking about the draft. So that would open up floodgates for Joe Alt at 7.
Yeah. I think the Giants need way too many weapons for them to go tackle. So I think it's lining up that it's just gonna fall to us. Which then means round two. That's the next big thing.
That's your receiver, Michael. That's
I just desperately hope we come away with a receiver from this class in the top two rounds, just because I feel like, you know, I think the record for receivers in a first round is 7. And I don't think we'll even get to 7 in this one, but I would personally say that there's a potential of 10 first round capable receivers in this draft. So like, I think realistically what will happen is probably 6 will go in the first round, and there's going to be 4 first round wide receivers. And that won't, you know, the Patriots, if they go quarterback round 1, they're going to go receiver round 2. So that doesn't mean there's going to be 4 first round guys at 38. But what it probably means is 1 or 2 for us to choose from are going to fall to 28 or to 38 this year.
Interesting.
That's like a Xavier Leggett. That's a Ladd McConkey. That's a potentially Xavier Worthy or
A.D. Mitchell.
Ricky Pearsall.
See, Ricky Pearsall's not even in that group. Keon Coleman's in that group.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about people that if at the beginning of this college season, I told you in round 2, we'd draft Keon Coleman, you'd be like, no way, dude. There's just no way.
He's not going to make it.
So that's why I'm looking at it like, oh, please let us get away with one of these receivers. But we even talked about it. Receiver in the first round and just in the draft in general has such an insane bust rate that it's so hard. If you look at, let's look at the 6 wide receivers taken in last year's draft. Tell me if they're a winner or a bust. You have Jackson Smith and Njigma for the Seahawks.
Jury's still
winner.
Out.
Winner.
Oh.
But yeah, I'd say
no, I would say winner. Yeah, I would say winner, though.
Yeah, I'd say winner.
And I apologize for probably butchering the pronunciation of his last name, but we'll move on. And there are 4 wide receivers that were drafted consecutively last year. Quentin Johnson, next.
Chargers. Bust.
Bust. Wow. The second wide receiver taken last year's draft. Bust, we're already saying. All right, we're going right down. Zay Flowers, Baltimore Ravens.
Winner.
Winner. Yeah, I would say he's a winner.
Trying to learn how to hold on to the football at the goal line in the playoffs.
Ooh. Yeah, that's brutal. Well, you know what that was? That was more of a brilliant play by Le'Jarius Sneed, who we're trying to trade for, than it was.
Yeah, that's true.
Flowers, I would say. All right, right after that, Jordan Addison to the Vikings.
Oh, big time winner.
Yeah, big time winner. I would agree there. All right, so we're doing all right. We've got 1 bust. We've got 3 hits. Right next down to Jonathan Mingo, Carolina Panthers, Ole Miss.
Yeah, he didn't do anything, did he?
Nope.
But that we don't know. That might be, we don't know yet. That's Bryce Young, terrible O line. But I'll say bust for it.
Not looking good. Okay, 2 busts, 3-3. All right, so now we're gonna go to number 6, and that's and the difference here is these last Jonathan Mingo is in round 2, and this is also a round 2 wide receiver. But Jaden Reed, Packers.
He's actually pretty good.
He's got promise. I will say, and then you come down to who I think was the best receiver in the entire draft, Rashee Rice, Kansas City Chiefs.
Imagine being the Chargers right now. You just named 7 wide receivers, the top 7. They got by far the worst, they picked the second one.
And they got rid of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen.
Oh, Mike. I mean, they would trade
another one.
What? Puka. Oh, yeah, but that's one
Puka
of those.
Puka was the best. Puka was the best. You were right. Yeah. Round 5. Puka was the best. My point of what I was trying to point out is that wide receiver is such a volatile position that it's so – you just can't go into a draft with such a need at the position and hope that one guy translates, because everybody would have said Quentin Johnson was the guy that was for sure going to translate.
It's a good point for sure. Well, yeah, I think so. One thing that we haven't mentioned, and I think we can wrap up on this. I also want to ask y'all though, do we want to give a tribute to Derrick Henry now, or do we want to save that for later?
I'm not in the mindset. I need to do research and,
but if you, if you've been living under a rock, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that Derrick Henry signed with the Baltimore Ravens. It hurts. It hurts, but it's something we're obviously accustomed to with some of our best franchise players always going there. Steve McNair, Samardzija Rowe, Derek Mason. But yeah, I think so Derrick Henry is obviously
the championship game. We keep that in our pocket for when they're in that championship game, and then we do a whole.
If Baltimore plays the Titans in Nashville next year, how are you gonna? Are you gonna go? Like, are you?
We don't. If we do, it'd be in the playoffs.
But like, how would you feel watching Derek play for the Ravens on our home field?
I would want him to have a 18 carries for 32 yard game.
I love Derek so much. Like, I want to root for him, but I hate the Ravens. Yeah. I hate the Ravens, man. That was the one thing I said last week, was I just don't want to see him go to like an AFC team like the Steelers, who I hate.
Well, we can close the episode on this. It's become clear that the Ravens thought they had a trade done for Derek midseason last year.
Yeah.
Their GM came out. There was a bunch of smoke. So whether it was Amy, whether it was Rand, whether it was Vrabel, somebody shut it down. Do you think it was the wise move? And do you think the Titans should have traded and gotten some draft picks?
Man.
Because you're probably looking at a fourth round or fifth round pick right now.
Was it the best thing for the franchise? No. Do I wish it was different? I don't, because I, as a fan, as a Derrick Henry lover, I'm glad he got that last game. I'm glad it wasn't sudden and the rug pulled out from under us. There's that aspect there as a fan where you just want to honor your legends, and he's a Titans legend. And so
I totally, you know, totally agree there. Also, I agree with that. Like, respect him, let him have his farewell tour. And he kind of did in the Jags game. Marquise Brown, Diana Russini says, 1 year deal worth up to $11 million.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is a ring deal right there.
Yeah.
Golly.
You know what that means? That probably means we're out on L'Jarius Sneed.
Are you saying that the Chiefs keep him?
I think the Chiefs are all in on this three-peat, and they're stalling this trade, and they're going to back out of it.
Frick you, Chiefs.
Golly, that is a great deal for the Chiefs.
Yeah. But I'm not going to lie, I kind of like Calvin Ridley more than Marquise Brown still.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want Marquise Brown. I don't think he's all that great, but – like, to have a potential number one receiver that you're only paying $11 million.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Who's going to ball out for Mahomes? Like, the Mahomes level there, he just raises every receiver's game a couple notches.
Yeah.
Well, if you're L'Jarius Sneed, you basically have to agree to play there on the franchise tag for this year so that you can chase that ring again. The question is, do you do it? They can't sign him long term.
Yeah.
Can they sign him to a one-year deal that's not the franchise tag?
Well, he's currently on spot track, and this could be wrong. They're estimating the Chiefs has $16 million, so they just signed. But they have L'Jarius Sneed in their calculations at $19.8 million, but that's not what the franchise is. Franchise is a bit higher. So with Hollywood coming, and then let's say Sneed signs the franchise, they can make it work.
Do you know if they have Mahomes' restructured contract in that? Because I know they saved another $20 million.
Well, yeah, his cap hit now says $37 million, and that looks correct. Because his cap hit next his cap hit next year. Let's see it refresh. I think it's $66 million.
Dang. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Well, one player.
That let's you just want try to get Will Levis better. We can worry about the Chiefs later.
That's what I'm saying. This year, guys, we don't need to win games this year. We need to win team
parts
this
year.
Yeah. Let's wrap this up. Give me one player you want to be a Titan after this. Mine is Jerome Baker.
Brock Bowers.
Okay. I'll give it to you.
Oh, you just changed my answer, Robert. I was about to say L'Jarius Sneed, but now I'm going to say Joe Alt.
Oh, okay. Well, looks like I'm the only one that wants to be smart and get someone in free agency, and y'all are just focusing on the draft. There we
that's
go.
I want Patrick Mahomes. That's who I want.
Yeah, that's true. There you go. That's fair. All righty. Well, we appreciate y'all listening in. I don't think we're done. So let's just see what we got. But sounds like we're somewhat happy with what we've done so far. I would say that's fair.
We better not be done. Let's go spend some money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. Title of last episode, not our money. Spend it? ? So far, we've been doing that. So we thank y'all for listening. I'm JG.
I'm Robert.
I'm Michael.
We thank y'all.
My mama told me, son, always be a good boy. Don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.